Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Tess, our next guest is Andrew State. Andrew is the new CEO of Pinnacle Foundation. Now, we've had Paul Zara from Pinnacle Foundation, because Alan Joyce is the chair, isn't he?
No. Paul is the chair. Alan is the chair. One of our patrons.
Alan's the patron. Yeah. I look on you. Yeah. I get it wrong. So tell us briefly, Andrew, what is Pinnacle Foundation for our listeners that don't know? And give us a little bit of your history, how you've ended up in this place.
Sure. Well, I sort of first became aware of Pinnacle through Paul Zara. I'd been on the Midsummer board for a few years and was really sort of focused on fundraising for Midsummer. And Paul was actually our ambassador 1 year. And when I think he became aware of stepping off the board, he sort of reached out and said, would you consider joining the Pinnacle board, which I did in 2016. And we've just had an amazing journey since then. We've gone from being probably more well-known in New South Wales to now really a genuinely national organisation. We've got volunteer committees in every state in the ACT. We're still working on Northern Territory. And we've always had, we provide educational scholarships and mentoring support to young LGBTIQ plus people between the ages of 18 and 26. We've always provided the scholarships nationally, but now we sort of have a whole infrastructure, if you will, across the country to really support that, because the demand is just incredibly strong.
So, Andrew, you've just stepped into the chief executive's role.
As of Monday.
As of Monday, right. So where have you come from? Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So my background, I studied law a long time ago and hated it, and then I worked in the arts for a few years for the Melbourne Theatre Company and Victoria State Opera and Opera Australia. And
as a lawyer?
No. I really hated law. I did my articles, and the day they finished, I resigned. And then, to my horror, because I'd had so many sick days during my year of articles because I hated it so much, when I went to get admitted, they said, you need to go back for 4 more days. So they had a farewell for me on the Friday. And on the Tuesday, I came back and worked another 4 days. So it was quite a... I really didn't enjoy law. So I worked in
sales. You've made your point.
So I worked in sales and marketing roles for MTC and for the Opera. And then I joined Morgan & Banks and worked in recruiting and stayed with that firm for about 10 years and ended up running that firm across Australia and New Zealand, and then founded SHK, which was a firm which is going from strength to strength, in 2007. And I was MD of that firm until 2016, and then I stepped back just to be non-exec chair, which I still am. And I've really been volunteering for the foundation, Pinnacle Foundation, almost full time since that time. So, and it's just so rewarding that. So while I'm stepping into the CEO role on Monday, it sort of doesn't feel quite like I am, because I've sort of been doing a lot for quite a long time. And I have a joke with the incumbent CEO, well, as of today still, Janine Middleton, who you probably know.
Yeah, we've spoken to her a couple of times.
Yeah, well, Janine sort of said she's retiring. This is her third retirement. She's done it 3 times, and she said, I'm not cracking open the champagne. Her husband's not cracking open the champagne, though, because she's still got Pinnacle meetings next week, and she's going to stay on as a very active volunteer in New South Wales, which is brilliant. It's very hard to lose Pinnacle once you start getting connected with it, because it's just so good what we do.
So what's Janine going off to do?
Well, she's actually going to stay as a very active member of the New South Wales Pinnacle Committee, and she is going to drive a lot of the initiatives we have around our Night of a Thousand Dinners, which is a big fundraiser we have in November. And it comprises, we're aiming to have 1,000 people host a dinner for their friends on that night, and with the intent that you host the dinner, and instead of people bringing wine or flowers or, you know, things that they would normally bring, that they make a donation to the foundation. So, and that on the night you perhaps talk a little bit about, you know, what the Pinnacle Foundation does, because I think we see there's a real misconception that since marriage equality, things for LGBTIQ young people are all now good. And look, they're just not. No. I mean, there's so many young people who still struggle enormously and who, you know, getting kicked out of home when people find out about their, you know, gender identity or sexual characteristics or orientation and, you know, bullying, all the things that many people have experienced themselves in our community still happen. And so, you know, being able to help a student, not just financially through the scholarship, but then also by matching them with a mentor and exposing them to role models is just really, really powerful. And that's why we're so pleased we've got now really active committees in each state.
I mean, you know, I think, you know, we've seen, yeah, it is difficult times for our community. Some would say it always is. And, but, you know, giving, you know, support, you know, to young queer folk, you know, in furthering their education, I think that's, you know, that's something that's really important because, you know, access is not, you know, is not always guaranteed. And it's actually recognition that there is a gap. What sort of numbers are we talking here, you know, in terms of how many scholarships and what's sort of the value to them, you know, do you hope to achieve?
So we had about, I think it was 760 applications last year, and we awarded just over 30 scholarships. And the scholarships range in value. So some are named scholarships where we've had people who donate quite a significant amount of money, over $50,000 to name a scholarship. And so the named scholarship values are slightly higher than the standard scholarships, and the scholars get more money in their first year than in subsequent years because they, you know, we're anticipating they'll be investing in you know, computers and textbooks and all the things that probably textbooks on. I'm so far out of uni now, maybe it's just all online. But the things that they need to be able to study. And we bring all the new scholars together each year in February in Sydney for an induction weekend where we sort of introduce them to the Pinnacle family, and we have a range of different speakers and sessions on things like their mental wellbeing. Michael Kirby makes a most impactful and powerful speech, which also sort of reinforces the responsibility that comes with the scholarship in the sense that, you know, we would love to think that one day the scholars that we support can then give back to the community.
So in most instances, the money goes to the student?
Yes, they get a credit card or debit card through the Commonwealth Bank that we provide, and they can then spend the money. But, they, you know, they've got to spend it on responsible things, but
and it's up to them what they spend.
Correct. So
and the money doesn't go to families to help families support their student.
No, it goes directly to the scholar. Scholar, because in many cases we support marginalised and disadvantaged students. So we're not, you know, in many cases the family support just isn't there, and they might have come from a regional, remote, or rural area.
So that's
area
specifically
and moved
what
to the
you're
city.
Looking for. Then is
marginalised or disadvantaged is the, you know, we're certainly
where sexuality and gender identity is the
correct
key factor.
Or sexual characteristics. Yes, so that's and where they've, you know, their personal development and professional development and career sort of development has been constrained, and it's not just to study at university. It could be a TAFE program, an apprenticeship, whatever the student really
and see, but the reason I ask that is because the Smith family have a similar model. They move from just welfare to actually supporting students with their education, but sometimes that support it's tailored around the individual needs.
Yes.
So if the family requires assistance with, say, you know, food and power and rent, the money will go towards that so that the kid has a stable environment in a loving family that can continue on with their education. But you're specifically targeting
the scholars,
students themselves, scholars you call them.
Correct. So, and you know, the profile of them, they'll usually be between the ages of 18 and 26. And the scholarships can be multi-year. So as long as they achieve reasonably good marks. They don't have to be, you know, outstanding scholars, but solid marks, and they show a commitment to their studies, then that's really powerful. And it was interesting, we did a study last year because the foundation's been going for 10 years. There was a study done by one of our amazing volunteers, Susan Brooks, which looked at where are the scholars now, all of the scholars, and what were the things they valued the most. And it was really interesting. They valued three things. Yes, they valued the financial support because often it enabled them to study where otherwise they couldn't. They really valued the mentor. That was probably the thing that most of them said helped them more than anything. But the third thing that we hadn't anticipated was that sense of belonging, the belonging to the Pinnacle family and the connections that they had because they could see there were other people out there in our community who wanted to help them and were supportive, and in many cases people who were successful in different walks of life. It made them, or gave them, a sort of encouragement that there was a path that they could follow. So we've really tried to focus on those three things. But, you know, one of our biggest challenges is finances, because all of our funds come from either individuals or sponsors, and actually I just would love to share a story. I won't say who, but we hosted a small event in Melbourne last week, and a man came to that event and very quietly at the start said he would like to provide a named scholarship and donate $50,000 in memory of his partner. And it was, for me, just so powerful, because he explained his partner had worked in a certain industry for many, many years and had passed away recently, and he just wanted to be able to give back in that sort of, in that same field. And things like that are just enormously powerful to see.
It's a lovely story.
More mature people in our community also wanting to give back and help the younger people coming through.
We're almost out of time, Andrew, but we'd love you to come back at some point.
Thank you.
You know, allow you to settle in for 3 or 4 months or so. Come back and talk to us about your experience, and perhaps even bring along some of your scholars, if that's possible.
Yeah, we'd love to. There's just one thing I'd love to say. The scholarship applications for 2020 actually open next week. If there is anyone out there who thinks they might know someone who would benefit from a scholarship, or indeed is listening and thinks they would benefit, then they can log on next week.
And what's a scholarship worth on average?
A first-year scholar would look at achieving around $7,000. So it's a significant significant amount of money. So
yeah, that's great. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
Good luck with the new role.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
And we look forward to chatting with you again at
Cheers.
Some time in the future.
And good luck for your break.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.